Tonight's shir is dedicated Leilo Nishmas Yitzchak ben Yisrael Yosef HaKohen, the Shama should have an Aliyah, and we dedicate our learning in his memory and also in the Schus Yibad Mechaim Aruchim to all of our Chayalim and Chayalot. They should find success in all their missions and return safely to their homes together with the hostages, and we should find peace in our time speedily. So I just wanted to share with you some amazing midrashim on this week's parsha, Parshas Nitzavim and Vayelech. As we head into Rosh Hashanah, I've also agreed to deliver a special Rosh Hashanah shir on Wednesday afternoon at 12 noon for approximately 20 minutes, and everyone is invited to join at that time. Tonight's shir is interesting because when I was thinking about Nitzavim, which means to stand tall, and Vayelech, which means to move forward, it kind of is like an oxymoron. Like, which one is it? So it reminds me of my father, Avosham, that used to tell me that when he was a medic in Korea, in the army, they would say, hurry up and stand still. So this is exactly what these two parshiyos represent, or what came to mind when I thought about Nitzavim, Vayelech, right? To stand still and yet to move forward. So Nitzavim begins with the foreshadowing, or the predecessor, I should rather say, of the prior parsha. When the Jewish people heard of all of the terrible non-blessings that are conveyed in last week's parsha, there was great hesitation and there was a lot of anxiety. How in the world are they now supposed to face HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How are they supposed to face one another? How are they supposed to prevail? And the Medrash says that Moshe turns to all of them and he says the following, Atam Nitzavim Hayom, you're going to stand firm, stand strong, kulchem, all of you, roshechem, shifteichem, shotrechem, everyone, kol yish Yisrael. So this means to tell us that despite the challenges that we face, despite the hardships that we've experienced over this past year, it's been a very difficult year. It's been a very challenging year. And we are a people that are resilient. And in a way that we continued to support one another immediately after the events that transpired on October 7th is the way that we continue to do so today. And not just a small measure, but in big measures, and not just in big measures, but in small measures, there are still packages. There are still people that are sending food over. There's people that are sending money over, that's sending, you know, support in all different shapes and sizes. So Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us that in the future, we will face challenges. But the only way for all of us to succeed is when we stand together. And unfortunately, October 7th came about, but in a very strange way. It's the one common denominator that has united all of Judaism, all of Jewry, from the most fervent Orthodox camp to the conservative camp, to the Reform camp, to even the humanitarian Jews. Everyone wants to see the hostages returned home. Nobody can swallow this type of painful pill. And all of us are standing together. And this actually dovetails what had been said back in Parshas Vayechi, Ish asher b'choso berach osam. The pasuk should have said berach oso, that Yaakov Avinu gave a bracha to each one of the shvatim, but it's true that each of them got their own bracha. But Rashi tells us there that the reason why it's plural is because we will need to utilize the resources of each other. We know that Naftali was swift as a deer. And so the Israeli Postal Service took that as a message, and they made, you know, a deer as being the insignia of their postal service. And we know that from Sheva Levi came a lot of the Sfarim to our very day. We know that Malchus comes from Yehuda. We know that there's the Yisachar Zebulun relationship. Everywhere we look and turn, we find some resonance, some semblance of community, in the sense that it's not one person. All the successes that happen are not attributed to one person. They're attributed to the community at large. And the diaspora, the Jewish diaspora as we have it today, is truly kulchem, is truly standing firm together. And that is something that should energize us to the future. God willing, soon the hostages will come home, and the war will come to an end, both in the south and in the north. And everyone will come back to their homes safely, but it should never stop us from the future state, which is the continuation of looking after our fellow brethren wherever they may find themselves in times of trouble. So that's just a brief synopsis of the Medrash Rabbah on the opening of Parshas Nitzavim, its relationship to the prior Parsha, Parshas Kisavo, and of course, the future state. The next is Vayelech, and I wanted to just share with you a very fascinating Medrash that's in Vayelech, and that is that we know that Moshe Rabbeinu has he doesn't have time. I mean, the only thing that we have in this world is time. And the hardest thing for the tzaddikim of yesteryear and the tzaddik chachamim of this common day and age is when people say the challenge of the times is when people say, I'm trying to kill time. I want to kill time. Imagine going into a hospital and telling somebody who is very sick that you're trying to kill time by watching a video or doing some nonsense when you could be learning or sharing some form of inspiration with somebody else. You know, what do we have except for time? And so Moshe Rabbeinu realizes he's out of time. And the first place he goes is to the Beis Medrash. And that's where he finds himself. And he gives chizik to other people. And he had the Medrash says he had many bakashos, but the two principal bakashos that he placed before Hashem was slachna and ebrana. Those two nas. We know that the Gemara in Brachas brings down that ein na elashon bakasha, that the word na, nun aleph, is elashon bakasha. As we know that it says, daber na be'aznei ha'am v'yashilum klei kesef klei zav, that Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Hashem to tell over to the Jewish people to please borrow, daber na, to please borrow gold, silver, and garments from the Egyptians at the onset or before the onset of the Makkah of Choshech. And the question is, why bother? They're disabled. They're unable to withstand the force of the Jewish people coming in and taking it, you know, outright. So why would we go ahead and borrow from them? We should just take what we feel is ours. And the message there is that, yes, you do feel and you are entitled. However, if you have that mentality, then you will take without asking in the future. And that's not the way that civilized people or a civilized nation will develop itself into a cultured nation as it is today. And so therefore there's a message that we don't just simply grab things, we build credit and we build a level of understanding and we have a due process and there's a legal process. And all of these things resonate with civilized society. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching us a valuable lesson, how to become a civilized people so we can be an Or LaGoyim. Here we see that the word slach na la'am hazeh ki golda chasdacha, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, I am begging you, Hashem, to please forgive the Jewish people for their grievous act of the Egel Azav. As Rabbi Moshe David Tendler and Shir in YU said back in 95, he said, when the Jewish people did the Cheta Egel, they prostituted themselves to a foreign god. And he used those words in order to impress upon us the grievous nature in which they had committed such an intolerable sin of the Cheta Egel, unforgivable. And Hashem says, that's enough. I'm going to Bakimosis Prisi Itach. I did it before with Noach. I'll do it again with you, Moshe. I'll take everyone out. And the future Jewish people will descend directly from your family line, from your children. And Moshe says, no. Slach na lamazah. Please, slach na. Please forgive them. It's hard for you, Hashem, to do this. It goes against your grain, much like you tell us to do things that go against our grain, to borrow from the Egyptians. But slach na, please. Why? Because kigodo chastacha, because you are a merciful God. And Hashem acquiesced to that bakasha, and the Jewish people were saved. And then Moshe Rabbeinu comes with a second request, Ebra na, let me pass over to the land of Israel. Hashem says, you have choices to make. You can either do something for yourself and benefit yourself, such as Ebra Na, to pass over into the land of Israel, or Salach Na, or to forgive the Jewish people. Which would you rather have it? And Moshe says, without batting an eyelash, I want the Jewish people to survive. I want them to succeed. I'll do anything for their continuation, because without the Jewish people, what is it? For me, for myself, I'm mochel on my own covered. And that's something that we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayelech, Moshe, that Moshe went into the Beis Medrash. He didn't have time. He was out of time. But that's where he found himself learning and teaching all of us the act of selflessness. And that's the message that we get from the Medrash Rabbah on this week's Parsha, and Parshas Vayelech. We learn the message of Moshe Rabbeinu. To sum everything up, we talked about the Medrash at the onset of Nitzavim, that we have to stand firm together as a people, as a nation, and continue in our efforts to bring our hostages home and to bring our soldiers home safely. And this cannot happen without our tefillos, our tehillim, and all of the chesed projects that are so close. Ki karev elecha hadavar me'od la'asoso. They are so close to all of us to do something positive. And there are so many opportunities. Just open up the newspaper and you'll see how many dozens of organizations are there for you to attach yourself toward. The second is selflessness versus someone who thinks only of himself or thinks of the kahal. And Moshe Rabbeinu had that choice. Hashem says, I give you two choices. You can't have them all. Which one is it? And Moshe Rabbeinu says, I want you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to please fulfill the bakasha of Slach na l'amazeh ki goldo chasdecha, because that's what you are. You are merciful God. And for myself, yes, Ebrana is what I want. It was what I desire. But it's more important that Klal Yisrael should succeed. With that, I wanted to wish everyone Tich l'shana u'berchaseha, that we're about to start a brand new year. It's going to be, God willing, a much better year than the last. We have to pray to Hashem that we find success in all of our collective engagements, and that what we do here resonates and echoes into eternity, as they say in Gladiator, right? The opening scene. But the message here is that we have to recognize that what we have in front of us are opportunities we have to give to others. We have to make sure that they stand first. And they have. And I'll close out with the Kutzker because I love him. He says that there's two times where you see the word lecha. I said this before, but I think it dovetails so nicely to what we're saying. You broke it, Rashi tells us. You go ahead and fix it. Be responsible for your actions. That's the word lecha, but it comes after the word pesal. And then there's another pasuk that says, Lo sasa lecha pesal. Don't put lecha before the word pesal. Don't make for yourself a graven image, is the translation. But here, it's in reverse. So the mitzvah's ase is pesal lecha. Put yourself second after the word pesal. What's the lo sase? Lo sasa lecha pesal. Don't put lecha before the pesal. Don't put yourself first before you think of the needs of others. And that's the way we enter into Rosh Hashanah. We look at our neighbor in shul. We look at our neighbor down the block. We look at our neighbor who's next door to us, and we say, what can I do to help you? How can I make your day better? What can I do to bring a smile onto your face? That's my tafkid in life. That's my responsibility for this Rosh Hashanah. So with Torah blessings from Elizabeth, New Jersey, I benched all of you with a bracha that we should find, Berachas HaGefen, Hatzlacha, Gezun, Parnasa, Nachas, this day and this year going forward.